2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will meet them and heal their land." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for the amazing privilege we have as Americans to be here freely. We thank you for the amazing privilege we have as members of the RNC to represent the values that Americans hold dear that created this wonderful country, America. And Lord, that's what we are fighting for. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Ronna McDaniel. I want to thank you for her leadership and her courage. I want to thank you for her grace as she has been under fire. And God, I pray that you would bless her and her family on her next journey. I pray for Michael as he steps into this new role. I pray, God, for wisdom and discernment, and that he would be a seeker of what is true and just. And God, I pray that for each and every one of us as we head home, that we would represent with honor the things that we so fervently defend. Thank you for the amazing God that you are. Thank you for being the creator of our lives. And thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Let us all join together and honor our country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The following members have been designated to serve on the proxy committee: Anne Hathaway, Nash Committee Woman for Indiana; Craig Campbell, Nash Committee Man; Alaska, Jessica Patterson, State Chairman for California; Glenn McCall, Nash Committee Man for South Carolina; Cindy Sidaway, Nash Committee Woman for Idaho; Frank Bordeaux, State Chairman for Mississippi; Shane Gettle, Nash Committee Man for North Dakota; Jennifer Rich, Nash Committee Woman for North New York; John Fry, Nash Committee Man for Connecticut; and Larry Peck, Nash Committee Man for West Virginia. Anne Hathaway will serve as chairman of the proxy committee. I would like to ask those appointed members to convene on the side of the room where counsel's office is to review submitted proxies. While the proxy committee is meeting, Vicki Drummond will lead us in roll call.
Thank you. Paul Reynolds, John Wall, Ann Brown, Craig Campbell, Cynthia Henry, Will Sword, Frank Barron, Amada Radawagon, Gina Swoboda, Tyler Boyer, Lori Klein Corbin, Joseph Wood, Jonathan Barnett, Mindy McElinden, Jessica Patterson, Sean Steele, Harmeet Dillon, Dave Williams, Randy Corcoran, Vera Ortigan, Ben Proto, John Fry, Leora Levy, Julianne Murray, Hank McCann, Mary McCrossan, Patrick Mara, Jose Cunningham, Exley McClay, Evan Power, Peter Fayman, Kathleen King, Josh McCoon, Jason Thompson, Ginger Howard, Juan Carlos Benitez, Eddie Basso Calvo, Shelley Gibson, Tamara McKay, Jean Ward, Laura Nakanalua, Dorothy Moon, Brian Smith, Cindy Sidaway, Don Tracy, Richard Porter, Demetra DeMonte, John Hammond, Anne Hathaway, Jeff Kaufman, Stephen Scheffler, Tamara Scott, Mike Brown, Mark Cars, Kim Borshears, Evan Benvenduity, John McCarthy, Casey Crosby, Louis Garvage, Roger Villery, Lenar Whitney, Joel Stetkus, Josh Tardy, Ellie Esplin, Nicole Harris, David Bossi, Nicole Ambrose, Amy Carnevale, Ron Kaufman, Janet Fogarty, Pete Hoekstra, Rob Steele, Kathy Burden, David Hahn, Alex Bokash, Barb Sutter, Frank Bordeaux, Henry Barber, Jenny Lucky, Nick Myers, Gordon Kenny, Carrie Almond, Don Coltsmith, Art Wittick, Deborah Lamb, Eric Underwood, J.L. Spray, Fashawn Blythe, Michael McDonald, Jim DeGraffenried, Sigal Chata, Chris Ager, Bill O'Brien, Juliana Bergeron, Bob Hugan, Bill Palatucci, Virginia Haynes, Steve Pierce, Jim Townsend, Tina Jook, Ed Cox, Joseph Cairo, Jennifer Rich, Michael Watley, Ed Broyhill, Keisha Brassington, Sandra Sanford, Shane Gettle, Laurie Hens, Diego Benaventi, Edward DeLeon Guerrero, Irene Hull, Alex Trianafulu, Jim Dickey, Joanne Davison, Nathan Dumb, Steve Curry, Pam Pollard, Justin Wong, Solomon Yu, Tracy Arnold, Lawrence Tabus, Andy Riley, Christine Torietti, Arnold Centron, Luis Fortuno, Zori Fanayatis, Joe Powers, Steve Frias, Susie Enke, Drew McKissick, Glenn McCall, Cindy Costa, John Wick, Reed Hullian, Sandy Kading, Scott Golden, Oscar Brock, Beth Campbell, Matt Rinaldi, Robin Armstrong, Tony Ann DeShiel, Robert Axum, Brad Bonham, Anne-Marie Lampropoulos, Paul Dane, Jay Shepherd, Suzanne Butterfield, Gordon Ackley, Javon Williams, Antoinette Gumsheck, Rich Anderson, Morton Blackwell, Patty Lyman, Jim Walsh, Jeff Kent, Marlene Pfeiffer, Matt Herridge, Larry Pack, Beth Block, Brian Schimming, Tom Schreibel, Mary Pat Kruder, Frank Ethorn, Corey Steinmetz, and Nina Weber. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. Now I'd like to call on Anne Hathaway for the report of the Proxy Committee.
That were submitted to the Secretary of the RNC. The Proxy Committee has determined that all 38 submitted proxies are in order. On behalf of the Proxy Committee, I conclude this report and move that the RNC accept the report of the Proxy Committee.
Without objection, the report of the Proxy Committee is accepted. Rule number 8A of our rules requires that a meeting agenda be sent to all members at least 10 days prior to a meeting. You have been emailed the agenda for the general session, and if there is no objection, we will conduct today's meeting according to the agenda. Hearing no objection.
Madam Chair, if we could, would it be possible to add new business to the end of the agenda? as it is pretty proper within. Since we get together so infrequently, it would be great to be able to
hear. We can do that through a majority vote.
Great.
All those in favor adding? We need a second. Okay. Is there a second? Okay. All those in favor of adding new business to the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no.
No.
The noes have it. You have been emailed a copy of the minutes, as I mentioned earlier, of the 2024 RNC winter meeting in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hearing no objection, I call upon the committee to approve the minutes from the RNC 2024 winter meeting. Without objection, the minutes are approved. There are no new members of the National Committee to ratify. However, it is my pleasure to welcome one new state chairman, somebody I know very well, and congratulate on him on his election, Pete Hoekstra from the state of Michigan. Welcome as a new member of the Republican National Committee. I also want to congratulate the many new National Committee members who've been elected throughout the states and territories and the caucuses and primaries to this point. Today, American Samoa becomes the 25th state or territory to cast votes in the Republican primary process. Thank you all for all of your hard work to send our candidate, Donald J. Trump, back to the White House. And with that, please also join me in thanking President Trump for his work for our party and our country. We recognize him today for the overwhelming success he has already achieved, earning the support of over 90% of Republican delegates, and acknowledge that he is not only our presumptive nominee, but will be the next president of the United States. With that note, I am going to ask you to join me as recognizing President Trump as our nominee and the next president of the United States. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I'm not even going to ask for the noes. Okay. It is now my pleasure to invite co-chairman Drew McKissick for the purpose of giving his report.
Sit down now. I've already applauded, right? Well, good morning, fellow Republicans. How are you? Are you proud to be Republicans today? Come on. All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you all so much for everything that you all do for our party at the state level and at the national level, the local level, all the hours, the time, the resources that you put into everything that you do, because you know just as I do that this matters. This makes a difference. This is important. Yeah, I think we would all agree here that we live in the most blessed country on the face of the earth. Would y'all agree?
Yes.
And we've got this wonderful thing in this country called self-government, and it gives us the opportunity to get in, involved, and to make change. But that first part of that phrase is the most important part of that phrase, self. Self-government. And that's what we're about. That's what our party's about. That's why we show up, why we get involved, because we care. Because as a member of this body, a friend of ours, Morton Blackwell, once said, personnel is policy. Personnel matters. And if policy is important, then that means the personnel are important. If the personnel are important, that means the elections are important. And that means what we do here is important. Our party matters. The local level, the state level, the national level, despite everything that would conspire to make our party less relevant, from campaign finance law, in some cases to election law, to you name it. But it still matters. It makes a difference. And when we do it right, when we work together and we do it right, it makes an even bigger difference. You know, this is not, as you all know, a spectator sport, right? There are no participation trophies in politics. And we've got a culture out there that's basically getting everybody used to the fact that, you know, it's, if you just get involved, you get a trophy. I'm like, no, there are no participation trophies. It is a tough business because we're opposed by people who believe things in many cases that are diametrically opposed to what we believe. But the one way that we can guarantee that they're successful is that we sit down and we don't get involved, and that we don't get more people who think like we do involved. That's our job. That's our job, to bring those people in, to show them why this party matters and this process matters and that they can make a difference. And when we show them that they can make a difference and we open their eyes to that, then we can win. And we can win in places, and many places that we haven't won before. I'm proud to say in South Carolina, in the last election cycle, we won in four districts that we hadn't won in 150 years, deep blue territory. Why? Because we got people engaged. We show them that it matters. We show them what our party believes. We get that message across, and we can win. But, you know, the thing that we always have to remember, whether blue states, red states, et cetera, nothing is permanent in politics. Nothing is permanent. There are no permanent red states. There are no permanent blue states, counties, cities, you name it. All there is the next election. And we're just one election away in a red state from having problems. You're one election away in a blue state from being able to celebrate. But there's only the next election that's in front of you. What are we doing to open the eyes of those folks who think like we do, who are sitting next to us at church, standing next to us at work, and to get them involved so that we can be successful? Because, as you all know, if you don't win, you can't govern. Can't govern if you don't win. The guy or gal who lost, they don't get phone calls asking what the tax rates ought to be, or whether or not CRT should be in the schools, and DEI, and you run down the list of the alphabet, you know, soup of things that we deal with today. They don't get those phone calls. We have to actually win. Losers don't make policy. And I hate losing. I remember, I think I told y'all a year ago, I hate losing more than I hate watching the Lifetime Channel. It's like that much. I hate losing. Our job is to win. Would y'all agree with that? Our job is to win. And winning is about preparation. What are we doing to prepare ourselves to win? And, you know, we've got those fundamentals that we talk about all the time. Our message, how we get our message across, how we help people understand that our message is relevant to them, that it matters. The manpower, the organization that we have to put together to actually turn out the votes that we need to win. And then raising the money to make the first two things possible. That's it. Those are the fundamentals of our job. And sometimes it's easy for us to get distracted with other things that don't have anything to do with those fundamentals. That's our job, to ruthlessly focus on those things. But then we have to build a team to make that possible. And that's why we're here today. This politics, good politics, is about building a winning team. And sometimes you need new people on the team. You got to bring in new folks to get the job done. As I assume, the chair election makes me ineligible to serve as co-chair, then I will resign my position as co-chair. But I'll still be here. I'm not going anywhere. I'll still be here to work with each and every one of you in any way I can to help you and to make sure that we win up and down the ballot and all across this country, that we win, we keep the House, we win the Senate, and we win the White House by putting Donald J. Trump back in as President of the United States. Can we get excited about that? Thank y'all so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Drew. Well, good morning and welcome to Houston. I love this city, and I hope you have all seen why we have chosen this city to host our 2028 Republican National Convention. It is a little bittersweet to be with all of you here today as I step down as chair after 7 years of working with you all to elect Republicans up and down the ballot, actually 10 years on the committee. And as you all know, I have a tendency to get emotional sometimes, so I have a bet that I won't, so it's a big bet, so I'm going to really work hard not to. But I need to start with my thank yous, and I want to get that out of the way. First, I want to thank all of you. Thank you to this entire committee, the RNC, these volunteers, all of you who are leaders in your state. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for voting for me 4 times, a record 4 times. I appreciate you more than you will ever know. You are my family. Now, we don't always agree. We know that, right? But we do agree on the vision for our country, and we know that we're doing the right thing to protect the American people, so thank you. I want to thank the men who served as co-chair during my tenure, Bob Paduchik, who's here from Ohio, Tommy Hicks from Texas, and Drew McKissick. Let's thank him again from South Carolina. I want to thank the RNC staff, and you'll see them around this room. A lot of them aren't here for the past 7 years. These young, bright, talented individuals who give so much, who come to DC or work in the field because they love our party and they love our country, and they get their start in our building, and they're phenomenal, and we couldn't do it without them. Please join me in thanking the RNC staff. Along with all of them, I want to thank the two men who served as my chief of staff while I was chair, Richard Walters and Mike Reed. They're phenomenal. I appreciate you both so much. Thank you. And of course, you all know the chairman's office, the schedulers, the women who have traveled with me, who work so hard. They're in the States with you. I couldn't do it without them. They know our family. Shannon Fisher, who's not here. Emma Connell, Taylor Rogers, and Emily Tremblay, who just got engaged, by the way, Emily. We could not have been successful without our fantastic finance chairs, who are also volunteers, who give so much time. And I've been blessed to have three amazing finance chairs in Steve Wynn, Todd Ricketts, and Duke Buchan, who has been the number one fundraiser and giver to the RNC during my time as chair. Thank you to all of you. I also want to thank President Trump for giving me this historic opportunity after his win in 2016 and tapping me to be only the second woman in history to lead the Republican National Committee. My mom is here today, Ronna Romney, the OG Ronna, and my stepdad, Bruce. Hi, guys. Thank you for everything. We've got a lot of family watching online, and our kids aren't here, but I really want to give a shout out to Abigail and Nash. You guys saw them when we came in. They were just 11 and 13 when I started this job, and they were just the cutest. They're the cutest kids still, but they were just in awe of all of you. You were so wonderful. You've been part of their lives. They love you. Abigail is on study abroad in London. Today is her birthday. International Women's Day is her birthday. Happy birthday, Abigail. We love you. Nash is in school. He could care less about what's going on here, but we love Nash. Thank you. And then Patrick, my husband Patrick, who's right back there. And this is when I knew I'd get emotional. I'm not going to, though. Patrick is amazing. When President Trump and the team came to me to do this job 7 years ago, I said no. I said no. And Patrick turned to me and said, honey, we can do anything for 2 years. It's only 7 years later. He's the most amazing man and husband. And I'm going to say, as women, as moms who work and are on the road and do these things, you know, your kids, when they're at the baseball game that you're missing, they don't care that you're on Air Force One with the president. And they notice their mom's not there, but Pat was always there. Pat's an amazing person. I love you, honey. Happy 25th anniversary. Pat's going to be seeing a lot more of me now. As this chapter ends in my life, I've had so much time to reflect on what we've accomplished in the last 7 years, and I hope you'll indulge me as I go through some of the amazing achievements we've made as a committee. When I won this gavel 7 years ago, I had a vision that you've all supported to grow this party. We need to be bringing more people into our party because we know that what we stand for is right. So I'm going to talk about some of the ways we did that first. We grew in our communications to voters. We grew our email list from 3 million to 50 million subscribers. We finally launched an online small dollar fundraising platform to compete with ActBlue. We were getting trounced by the Democrats over and over again for 15 years, and finally, we did it. And on that platform, we've raised $1.5 billion and brought in 2.5 million new donors into our party. In the last midterms, the RNC had 2.9 million unique contributions, which was the most ever contributions given in the history of the RNC. We orchestrated the creation of a texting house file. This didn't even exist previously because technology changed. It has become our highest grossing net revenue channel. We launched the GROW program to help strengthen our state parties. Many people don't know what that is, but you do, because you're leaders in your state parties, and we worked with each of you to customize how do we help you be successful in your states, and it's been a tremendous success. One of my favorite opportunities as chair was to go to Israel to open the embassy in Jerusalem under the leadership of President Trump. And it was another honor to bring on the Republican Jewish Coalition as a partner in our debate last November, the first time in history either party has partnered with a Jewish organization for a presidential debate. We got into the election integrity space for the first time in 40 years because we couldn't. We were under consent decree. And we've recruited poll watchers and poll workers and put attorneys on the ground to ensure fair and transparent elections. Our communications team, who is great, they run the White House's least favorite X Twitter account. I don't know if that says it right, X account. And it's called RNC Research. Joe Biden hates it. They can't stand it. They're the ones who find all the pictures of him on the beach in Delaware and all the things he does, and they've been holding him accountable, and is why he is one of the least popular presidents facing re-election in history. But something I'm most proud of that all of you know is near and dear to my heart is our investment in engaging minority voters and bringing them into our party. For too long, our party has ignored and ceded these votes to the Democrat Party, and we have said no more. And we've stopped just dropping in a week or a day before the election, and we've opened sustained, invested community centers and minority communities, and it has changed our party. In 2022, we went up 17 points with Asian voters, 10 points with Hispanic voters, and 4 points with Black voters. Our policies work, and when we take it to these communities, they vote with us, and they are becoming Republican. The RNC plays such a vital role in our ecosystem. And for those of you who don't know, a lot of people do TV, but we're the nuts and bolts. We're the infrastructure. We're the turn out the vote. Cycle after cycle, we're the committee that everyone depends on to turn out Republicans across the country. And in 2022, we won the popular vote by 4 million votes, and we would have won the Electoral College had it been a presidential cycle, because of this organization's turnout operation, which, yes, did include ballot harvesting in states like Nevada and California. I like to say we build the road and all the cars drive on it, right? You need a good road and you need great cars to get to your destination. And the road we make up, the infrastructure we've put together, activates volunteers who knock doors, make phone calls, and get every single Republican to cast their vote for our candidates. But at the end of the day, we're not the ones driving on the road. The candidates and the campaigns decide where they go, and not every candidate in 2022 made it to their destination. Now, I want to talk about this only because it's pivotal as we head into 2024 to understand what candidates should have done in 2022 to win. First, we cannot put our head in the sands and ignore abortion and the Dobbs decision. Many of our candidates chose to ignore this issue and not talk about it. And the RNC was a leading issue, urging candidates to talk about this issue head on. Go figure, I'm a suburban mom. I might have some opinions on this issue. I authored a memo in the summer of 2022 highlighting how we win on this issue when voters are faced with a decision between a Republican that supports exceptions and reasonable limitations when a baby feels pain and a Democrat who supports no exceptions, no limits, not even when a baby feels pain. Too many candidates, and specifically their consultants, scoffed at this advice and ended up paying the price on Election Day. In 2022, candidates mattered. Candidates always matter. But the candidates who won were able to articulate a message on abortion and also attract and win swing and independent voters. We are going to have to replicate that if we're going to win in 2024. Our winning candidates realized we can't win by just speaking to an echo chamber of Republicans. We don't win if we only talk to each other. We have to go out and engage independent and swing voters and sell them on our vision for this country. Additionally, over the last 7 years, we have elected the most Republican women to Congress in history, and as only the second woman ever to chair the RNC in our entire 168-year history, that is a feat I am incredibly proud of. We also, in 2018, bucked the odds and picked up Senate seats. In 2020, we picked up 15 House seats. In 2021, in a purple state that Joe Biden had just won, we invested millions of dollars and elected Glenn Youngkin in the great state of Virginia. And my most proud moment is in 2022, when we won back the House and we finally fired Nancy Pelosi. And we accomplished all this while going through a Russia hoax investigation, two impeachments, a once-in-a-lifetime global pandemic, and a Dobbs decision that flipped the script on the 2022 election. They say campaigns are like a marathon, but I view 2024 more like a relay race. The work of everyone in our headquarters and in the field have put me in a position to hand the baton off to a new chair with a lead. The state of our party is strong. Over the last year, the RNC has been building the road for our eventual nominee, Donald J. Trump. We have made election integrity its very own division within the RNC for the first time in history, and today we are engaged in 78 lawsuits in 23 states. This is critical to protecting our elections, and we spent a lot of money on it, and I think it's the right thing for the RNC to be doing. I just did a podcast with Josh Helton, the head of our election integrity division, where we went over a few of these many lawsuits. Just to give you one example, in Arizona, they just put forward an elections procedure manual to undermine election integrity and, yes, to allow non-citizens to vote. That is why we sued. Finally, we launched the Bank Your Vote initiative. You've all heard me talk about this a lot. Please indulge me when I talk about it one final time. We need voters to bank their vote and vote early. We cannot continue letting Democrats run up the score in critical states and we just wait to vote on Election Day. You all know I'm a huge football fan, right? And we all know Michigan won the national championship this year. Yes, go blue. You cannot win a football game if you only start scoring in the fourth quarter. We all know this. If Republicans succeed in getting Republicans to vote early and ballot harvest where legal, Donald Trump will win in November. It really is that simple. We've launched websites for all 56 states and territories in 16 different languages to inform voters where to vote, how to vote, how do you get your ballot, how do you request an absentee ballot, how do you track your ballot, where's your polling location. This website is critical. It's called bankyourvote.com. I hope you all go there. But we can't make Bank Your Vote successful alone. It's going to take every single one of you. It's going to take candidates up and down the ballot supporting this, and it's going to take our nominee working with the RNC to educate the voters on why they need to bank their vote early. We've also hired election integrity and political state directors in 15 battleground states, including important House and Senate states like Arizona, New York, and Montana. Our political team has invested in opening minority community centers in states like North Carolina, Texas, California, and New York. And our teams in the field have already contacted 3.5 million voters across the country. We just posted our best fundraising of the cycle in January when we raised $12 million and followed it up with February raising nearly $11 million. Our January and February reporting will be the best 2 months of fundraising the RNC has ever had when we did not occupy the White House. I'm going to repeat that again. Our January and February fundraising are going to be the best 2 months of fundraising the RNC has ever had when we didn't have the White House ever, and we didn't have a nominee yet. So while we may feel good about the position we're in, and we know Joe Biden's floundering in the polls, and we know he's incredibly unpopular, and we feel good where we are right now, I want to say, we're not done, guys. We've got a lot of work to do, and at this same day, this same point in 2020, we still even hadn't even had a pandemic yet. That hadn't even happened. And think of how that changed the trajectory of that election. We know the Democrats are going to have a ton of money. They're going to bring everything into this. They're going to have their media allies on their social media platforms. But I think the thing I worry about the most is something we can control, which is our internal cohesion. We want to make sure that we're united as we head into this next election. 7 years ago, I talked a lot about unity. I talk about it all the time. You guys hear me. We cannot win if we're divided. We can only win through addition. We cannot win through subtraction, which is why I have worked diligently to expand our tent. But we do have issues in our party. There are people who are more intent attacking other Republicans, whether it be financially or cliques or other things, than they attack Joe Biden or the Democrats, and that has to stop. We have to stop attacking other Republicans. And if we spend our time attacking each other, we guarantee that the Democrats are going to win. Now, I'm going to share a story I've shared many times. Many of you have heard it about my mom. I shared it at the Reagan Library last year. When she ran for Senate in 1994, it was a tough race. It literally divided my family, literally. My grandfather, Governor George Romney, endorsed my mom's opponent. Think about that. I loved my grandpa. He lived next door to me. I still love him. But he endorsed her opponent in that race. My uncle Mitt and my dad came in. They campaigned for my mom. Mitt was running for Senate in Massachusetts. And it was tough. The toughest thing I've ever dealt with politically, to have your family literally divided. And my mom ended up losing that race, 52-48. And the day after, I remember being home, and it's hard. You know, I was young, and I watched this happen to my mom, and they called her and said, please, please come to a unity breakfast. We have to win this Senate seat, but we're going to need you to come in and bring your supporters and show that unity. And I bet you can't guess what my advice was to her, but I said, don't go. Don't go, Mom. Please don't go. They were so awful to you. How can you support this guy? Look what they've done to our family. And she went. She went to that unity breakfast. She faked that smile, which we all had to do time to time in our lives, right? And she held his baby up in the air, their opponent's baby up in the air, and she said, I pledge I will do everything I possibly can to help you win this Senate race. I cannot imagine how hard that must have been for her. But she put our party and our country above her personal pain, and Republicans won that seat for the first time in 2 decades. I share that story again because when I talk about uniting, I'm not just talking about it. I've walked the walk. I've seen my family walk the walk. We have to unite. Just as my mom did 30 years ago, I will do everything possible to reelect President Trump in November. And I ask that all of you out there who worked so hard during this primary season or supported another candidate, that you come in and join me in supporting our president as well, our future president as well. We need you. We need you. Now, I'm stepping aside today because I have long promised to put the nominee and their plans for the RNC first. Winning the White House back is just too important for me to do otherwise. President Trump deserves to have the team he wants in place at the RNC. When I made the decision to step aside, there was no one else I supported to be the next chair more than Michael Whatley. Michael and I have had a very close relationship as he ran North Carolina. He ran to be my co-chair last year. I appointed him as general counsel, and he will be phenomenal on, I know, an issue President Trump cares deeply about, which is election integrity. I am rooting so hard for Michael and Laura's success, and I offer all the help and guidance I can to help ensure that you do succeed in your roles, and thank you for stepping up. I leave you all with just one final request, and I don't think it's going to shock you. Join me in putting our country first. We know people. We talk to them every day. I hear every day they're hurting. They are struggling. They can't afford groceries. They can't afford rent. They are seeing crime rise in their streets. They are seeing fentanyl come across our border. They're afraid about our open border. Joe Biden is a disaster for the American people, not just him, but all the Democrats. So I'm going to ask you to join me in uniting for the next 8 months and committing everything you have to make sure that we keep the House, we win the Senate, and we take back the White House and send President Trump there. Thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. I will now hand the gavel to our co-chairman, Drew McKissick. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. If you would all please rise again and give our Madam Chairman another round of applause and thank you for her service as we accept her resignation. We've accepted the resignation pursuant to rule number 4C of the RNC rules. Vacancies in the office of chairman shall be filled by the Republican National Committee in the same manner in which the chairman was elected in the first place. RNC officers, or elections rather, are governed by rule number 5B, which reads in part, all officers except the vice chairman shall be nominated from the floor and shall have at least a majority vote of the Republican National Committee members in each of three states in order to have their names placed in the nomination. Only one candidate provided the necessary documentation of support from at least two members from three states for the office of chairman. A candidate's nominating and seconding speeches will be allotted 5 minutes total. Parliamentarian Kay Cruz will keep time. Nominating speeches will be made from the podium. Seconding speeches will be made from the microphone on the floor. Only the members recognized for nominating and seconding candidates will be allowed to speak. Following the close of nominations, a voice vote will be conducted. After the election, the elected officer will have the opportunity to address the body. These are the procedures we have followed in the past for officer elections, and without objection, these are procedures that we will follow again today. Hearing no objection, we'll proceed to the election of chairman of the Republican National Committee. Michael Whatley is the only candidate for chairman who has demonstrated the required support for the nomination. Chair recognizes Jim Dickey, committee man from Ohio, for the purposes of nominating Mr. Whatley.
What a wonderful day, and what a great opportunity we have amongst the 168 for service to our great country. You know, it's a special pleasure for me this morning to rise to offer the nomination of Michael Whatley. We all know Michael. We know what a wonderful service he's been to this committee and to the party and to the nation. He's a lifelong Republican who's worked for decades to support Republican candidates at every level in the United States in our party. He served with distinction as chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party, general counsel of the RNC, where he's done absolutely stellar work. And as our chairman, Michael will bring a focus and a dedication to the RNC, and he will work relentlessly to elect Donald J. Trump as our 47th president of the United States, flip the Senate, expand our majority in the House of Representatives, and help us in our individual states win elections up and down the ballot. Mr. Co-Chairman, it is my honor to place the name of Michael Whatley in nomination.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jim. The chair now recognizes Casey Crosby, RNC Treasurer, National Committee Woman from Kentucky, and Joe Power, State Chairman for Rhode Island, for the purposes of seconding the nomination. Casey?
Thank you, Co-Chair. For all of you who know Michael, you know he has three priorities to lead us to victory in November. That is, get out the vote, protect the ballot, and raise the money. In North Carolina, we all know Michael has built one of the most successful Election Day operations in the country. And last year, we asked Michael a lot of questions because we wanted to do what he did in North Carolina and Kentucky. And as we all know, he returns every phone call. He was so helpful to us. And in fact, some of the work that he helped us lay the groundwork for helped us get a decision in our Court of Appeals that has set precedent for future elections in Kentucky. So it was invaluable to us to have him as a resource. As general counsel, Michael has been just a machine with fundraising, and I'm confident as your treasurer that every dollar Michael raises is going to go towards winning in November. It is my honor to enthusiastically second the nomination for our next chairman, Michael Whatley. Thank you.
Thank you, KC. Chairman Powers.
So as a newer member to the 168, I think all of us in here understand how what a daunting task it can be to join such a prestigious crowd. It can also be very challenging. And I, for one, being in this position for less than a year so far, one of the very first people who approached me in Oklahoma City last year was Mike Whatley. And he didn't know who I was, and quite frankly, if he had, he probably wouldn't have started the conversation. The reason I say that is because I like to ask questions. If I don't know, I'm asking somebody a question. He's never been without an answer, or if he didn't have an answer, he's asked others. And he's always gotten back to me. He's always been open. So there are a lot of new chairs in here, and I encourage each and every one of you to stand by new Chairman Whatley. Ask the questions that you need to help you along the way. One of the things that he said he was going to stand up for was election integrity, and I think we can all get around that. And along with President Trump, we will do everything we can to make sure that we actually stand up for election integrity. And it's no doubt that the reason why Michael Whatley is doing that is he created one of the largest election integrity campaigns in North Carolina. He's done an amazing job there. Also, too, those of us who know, we'd also know that it's a very purple state. And the amount of work that he's actually put together there has been nothing short of remarkable. He's actually taken the state and flipped the North Carolina Supreme Court. He's actually had a supermajority in the state, in the House, and in the Senate. He also has elected two Republican senators and will deliver four new Republicans to expand the majority in the House. He knows what it takes to win. He's not going to give up. He is going to continue to work as hard as he has. And I, too, along with Casey and many of you, stand and would love to put my name in there to second Mike Whatley for chairman of the RNC.
Thanks, Chairman Powers. So the name of Michael Whatley for chairman of the Republican National Committee has been moved and has been seconded. Since there are no other candidates who qualify under Rule 5B, nominations are now closed. So we'll now move to a vote. The question is on the election of Michael Whatley as chairman of the Republican National Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Congratulations, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you. And please join me in thanking Co-Chairman McKissick for his service to our party as we accept his resignation. I want to open this morning with several notes of gratitude. First, I want to thank the members of the RNC for entrusting me with this position at this critical time. I have been overwhelmed by the support and encouragement that I've received over the past couple of weeks as I have talked to the members of the committee. Knowing that I have the opportunity to work with and for all of you is both humbling and exciting. I want to thank Ronna McDaniel for her grace and vision as our chair for the past 7 years. From the moment that I stepped onto this committee in 2019, she has been a friend and a mentor, and I am grateful for her leadership and service to the Republican Party and our candidates across the country. I would also like to thank my family, Suzanne, Michael, George, and Mary Kay. Although they could not be with us here today, school still calls. They've been amazingly supportive, and I could not even contemplate this journey without having them beside me. Finally, I would like to thank President Trump for his trust and support. There is no one who has been more focused on fighting for the American people, and I am grateful for the opportunity to work with him to win and help revitalize our great nation. As we meet here in Houston today, we are already in the midst of one of, if not the, most important election cycles that this country has ever seen. 4 years ago, Russia was in check. China was in check. Iran was in check. Inflation was in check. Energy and housing prices were low. Our southern border was secure, and the world was a much safer place. Look where we are today. Russia is in Ukraine. Iran, through its proxies, is in Israel. And China is licking its lips thinking about Taiwan. Inflation is out of control. Housing and energy prices are through the roof, and 8.5 million illegal immigrants have come across our southern border. We don't know who they are, we don't know where they are, and we don't know what they're doing. Let me just say this. Peace through strength is much more than just a great campaign slogan from Ronald Reagan. It is a recognition that the world is a much more dangerous place when America is weak. Our country, and indeed the entire world, cannot take 4 more years of Joe Biden and Democratic control. In less than 8 months, we are going to determine the fate of not only the United States, but of the entire world. And this body, the RNC, is going to be the vanguard of a movement that will work tirelessly every single day to elect our nominee, Donald J. Trump, as the 47th president of the United States, flip the Senate, expand our majority in the House of Representatives. Now, the next time that the RNC will be gathering will be at our national convention in Milwaukee. I'm extremely excited to work with our Committee on Arrangements, led by Chairwoman Anne Hathaway and Vice Chair David Bossie, along with our Milwaukee Host Committee, chaired by Reince Priebus, to host a world-class event which will formally nominate President Trump and showcase the best of the Republican Party to the entire world. We have all seen time and again that the race for the White House will come down to a small handful of states, as will control of the Senate. And control of the House of Representatives will come down to a small handful of districts. The races in those states and districts will be won or lost by the narrowest of margins. In order for Republicans to win, we must focus on two primary missions: getting out the vote and protecting the ballot. Which means that the Republican National Committee will be focused like a laser on getting out the vote and protecting the ballot. My favorite statistic in all of politics: if you have a 5-minute conversation with an undecided voter, that voter is 6% more likely to vote and vote for your candidate. Every year, more and more voters are voting early or by mail. We must make sure that we are talking to those voters before they cast their ballots. We have millions of low propensity voters who will vote for Republicans if we can turn them out. In order to win, we must identify, target, and communicate with those voters. To do that, We will build our efforts to register new Republican voters. We will build our data program to target the voters we need to be reaching out to. We will recruit and train tens of thousands of volunteers to knock on doors and make phone calls in order to have those critical five-minute conversations and get those voters to the polls. Everyone in this room and every voter across the country knows that we must protect the sanctity of their vote. As your general counsel, I have worked closely with Chairwoman McDaniel to build our election integrity program from scratch. We have hired attorneys across the country. We've already filed more than 75 lawsuits in 23 states and are working closely with state legislators and election regulators to ensure that state laws, rules, and regulations will ensure fair, accurate, secure, and transparent elections. We have also hired and placed election integrity directors in battleground states who are already recruiting and training tens of thousands of volunteers to serve as poll judges, workers, and observers who will act as real-time monitors whenever votes are being cast and counted. And we will do more. If our voters don't have confidence that our elections are safe and secure, nothing else matters. We will work relentlessly in every state to ensure that it is easy to vote and hard to cheat. Over the next 8 months, the RNC will work hand in glove with President Trump's campaign to deliver on these core missions. If a dollar that we have is not directed towards winning this November, that dollar will not be spent. If a proposal or a request comes to us that is not focused on winning in November, it will not be considered. From now until November 5th, we have an incredible amount of work to do in order to deliver the votes to return Donald Trump to the White House, flip the Senate, and expand our majority in the House of Representatives. I know that this committee is ready to roll up our sleeves and get to work. I am so proud to have this opportunity to serve as the chair of your Republican National Committee. I am grateful for your trust and your support, and I'm truly excited for the opportunity to work with each and every one of you to win big this November. Thank you. Now, pursuant to the requirements of Rule Number 5, an election for the office of co-chairman is now in order. Without objection, we will follow the same procedures for this election as we just used for the chairman's election. Laura Trump is the only candidate for co-chairman who has demonstrated the required support for her nomination. The chair recognizes Beth Block, National Committee Woman from West Virginia, for the purpose of nominating Ms. Trump for the office of RNC co-chair.
Thank you, Chairman Whatley. Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed members of the Republican National Committee and special guest. In West Virginia, country roads take us home. Today, the roads have led us to Houston, where we begin the journey home to the White House, together and united. Today, I'm incredibly proud to nominate, without hesitation, an exceptionally kind, smart, and capable individual for the position of Republican National Committee co-chair, Laura Trump. Born in Wilmington, North Carolina, Laura was raised by parents who instilled in her the importance of family and fostered a deep appreciation of the values held close by many Americans: faith, freedom, and optimism in being able to achieve the American dream. In 2014, Laura married a young businessman, Eric, and in 2017, she began her most important role as a mother to son Luke and daughter Carolina. Presently, and for many years, Republicans and conservatives have been in a battle for our nation. While many people would shy away from the fight, Laura has consistently been at the forefront, exhibiting the needed fortitude, campaigning the conservative message so often ignored by Democrat politicians and the biased media, disconnected from the hardworking Americans they wholesale. Laura Trump keenly represents the spirit and the unwavering commitment that define the America First conservative movement. As a devoted wife, loving mother, and proud American patriot, Laura has command of the core values of our party, and she is not afraid to express them. Her dedication to our good work is not just commendable, it is a convincing example of leadership already in action. In a world where qualifications are often measured by titles and years of experience, we are reminded of a powerful truth. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Laura Trump is the embodiment of this truth. Her journey is a testament to the fact that passion, integrity, and a deep-seated love for one's country can indeed pave the way for transformative leadership, as we saw in President Trump in 2016. I would not let anybody define the Republican National Committee as an embattled party. We are an empowered party. Our unity, our resolve, and our dedication to the principles of conservatism is our greatest strength. In the face of challenge, in the midst of trials, let us stand together, unwavering in our commitment to the ideals that have made America great. In nominating Laura Trump for Republican National Committee co-chair, I am nominating a leader who is ready to stand at the forefront of this battle. Fellow Republicans, the time is now. Let us come together. Let us stand together. Let us be united in our purpose and steadfast in our resolve to support Laura Trump for Republican National Committee co-chair. Together, we will forge ahead, championing the America First agenda and securing a brighter, more prosperous future for our party and for our country. Together, we will make America great again. May God continue to bless our country, our leaders, our members, and President Donald J. Trump. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. The chair will now recognize Glenn McCall, National Committee Man for South Carolina, and David Bossie, National Committee Man for Maryland, for the purpose of seconding the nomination.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm honored to nominate Laura Trump to be the next co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Laura Trump began her career as a television producer. She was a contributor on Fox News and host her own show, The Right View. She is an excellent businesswoman and entrepreneur, using her talents on the campaign trail. Her work for charities have raised millions of dollars for those whose voices can't be heard. She brings to this role a passion and experience that are hard to find.
I'm proud to second the nomination of a leader, a fighter, and a patriot, Laura Trump, to be the next co-chairman of the Republican National Committee. When her father-in-law came down the golden escalator in Trump Tower back in 2015, she rolled up her sleeves and joined the fight. And that's when I first met her. From day one, she was on the campaign trail, supporting the greatest president our country has ever had, Donald Trump. Laura is passionate about winning both in politics and in charitable causes, like her and her incredible husband Eric's important work for St. Jude's Children's Hospital, something I've been fortunate enough to see personally. President Trump has called Laura his most valuable asset, and now we get the opportunity to have her many talents at the RNC working for us. She has laid out her optimistic vision for this organization to raise money and make sure we spend it to get out the vote and secure our elections. We have a long road ahead, not just for the future of our party, but for the future of our country. And Lara is the right person for the job. For Lara, there is only one goal, and it should be this goal for everyone in this room: defeating the worst president in American history, Joe Biden. She knows that we need to save our country, keep the House, win the Senate, and re-elect Donald Trump. So I'm pleased to nominate our next co-chair of the RNC, Lara Trump.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, David. The nomination of Lara Trump for co-chairman of the Republican National Committee has been moved and seconded. Since there are no other nominations that qualify under Rule 5B, nominations are now closed. We will now move to a vote. The question is on the election of Lara Trump as co-chairman of the Republican National Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes have it, and Lara Trump is elected as co-chairman of the Republican National Committee. Madam Co-Chair, congratulations. I would like to invite you to the podium to make a few remarks.
An exciting day here in Houston, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. I just have to say, look, I was going to prepare a speech. I had a bunch of things written down. I said, you know what? I want to come here and I want to speak from my heart. I've had an opportunity to call and now in person meet with so many of you. I know what you guys do all across this country. I know the commitment you've made. I know how important this role is, and it is truly an honor to be here to work alongside all of you over the next 241 days. That's right, we're keeping track. Because we know what the goal is at the end. We have one goal. The goal on November 5th is to win. And as my father-in-law says, big league, we're gonna win on November 5th, right? And I wanna say thank you to, first of all, Rana and Drew for passing along the baton, as Rana mentioned earlier, to me, to Michael. We are going to work our hardest over the next 8 months. I can promise you that. It's an honor as well to work with someone else from North Carolina. Did y'all do this on purpose? We got the North Carolina contingent. Everybody else, it's okay. I've known Michael for so long, and he is a fighter, he's a worker, he's a doer, and that's exactly what you're going to see out of the Republican National Committee with us at the helm. We're gonna be doing and working and winning. My husband, Eric, was here. He had to go catch a flight. So he was here with me, and I wanna say thank you to him. Since the day that my father-in-law came down the golden escalator, everyone remembers that famous day, this has never just been about each of us as individuals. It is about us as a family, and it's been about our country. And with Eric by my side, I have done things that I never imagined possible. Believe me, 10 years ago, had you asked me if I would have ever been part of a presidential campaign, I would have said you're crazy. And yet I worked for 3 years as a senior advisor to the Trump campaign, an incredible opportunity. I got to see this country from sea to shining sea, meet incredible people, and have life experiences that I will never forget. But Eric encourages me every day, and I know that with his support, this role is going to be incredibly successful, and our country, as a result, will be incredibly successful. And I'm doing it not for me. I'm doing it for the future generations, for my two kids, Luke and Carolina. They're 4 and 6 years old, and I think everybody in this room understands the battle, right? This isn't just about right versus left, Republican versus Democrat. It's about good versus evil. It's about bringing this country back, and it's about giving this country back to we, the people, right? That's the goal. And you know the vision. You know what we have to do. Michael's talked about it. We are going to make sure that every single penny of every dollar raised goes towards one goal, which is winning. How do we do that? We have to have election integrity like we've never seen before in this country, right? We've got to play the game a little bit differently. We have to encourage people to do things like early voting. We have to get people early voting, and then as soon as they go vote, they take people from that day on all the way up until election day to go vote. We have to raise a lot of money, and I have great news. I brought this up here today because I wanted everyone to know that already I have a check for the Republican National Committee for $100,000 that has been donated as of today, as of these nominations going through. Yeah, we're starting today, folks. And I won't take up too much time because let's face it, we got to get to work and we got to get to work quickly. But I just want to say again, thank you for entrusting me in this position. I promise to work hard. I promise to do everything within my power. We need to make sure that nothing is left to question on November 5th, that we aren't playing catch up, that we have the votes banked, that everyone feels like when they went in to vote that day, their vote counted. And that's what we are going to do. So I look forward over the next 241 days to working alongside each and every one of you. I also want to say thank you very quickly. I would be remiss if I didn't thank President Donald J. Trump, right? Because I'll tell you, he called me about this position. And I never, if he would have asked me 2 months ago, would you ever have considered doing this? I would have said, I don't really know. It wasn't something I ever thought about. But I also never realized that we would be in this space in our country right now. And if this is where my best use is, and this is where we're going to have to fight the most, this is where I want to be. I want to be in this fight alongside of all of you. I'm proud to do it. I'm excited to be here. I'm ready to get to work. 241 days to victory, ladies and gentlemen. Let's make America great again. Let's expand our lead in the House, take back the Senate, and let's put Donald J. Trump back in that White House. Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's an honor.
Madam Vice Chair.
Oh, do I come here now?
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes our committee business today. I would like to thank all of you for everything you are doing for our party and our country. And I would like to recognize Richard Porter, the National Committee man from Illinois, for the purposes of a motion.
Mr. Chairman, congratulations to you and to Laura. It's going to be a great team. We're very excited to be with you. And as the co-chair just said, it's time to go to work. So I'd like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
We have a motion. Is there a second? The motion has been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying no. The ayes have it, and this meeting is adjourned. Dude, thank you, man. Thank you, man.
Right? Okay. You got it.